everybody.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Yeah, we're back.
And we're talking about another Halloween movie because it's Halloween week.
Yeah.
God damn it. And we're like gearing up for the fucking holiday.
This is a really good one. Really good.
Yeah. This is, well, like I said, I'm really into horror anthologies all around. You know, and obviously some of them are hit or miss or whatever. The weird thing about this is that this is Tales of Halloween, by the way, which came out in 2015. I saw this movie like a year or two ago and I remembered liking it, but when we watched it again last night, I was like, man, I forgot how fucking good this was.
Yeah, I liked every story and it was good.
Yeah.
It was a trip. Yeah.
It's like some of the ones are better than others, obviously, because there's 10 stories, but I mean, all of them are worth watching.
Yeah. Practical effects. It's got a lot of directors from other famous horror movies are in it.
Yeah, lots of cameos.
Yeah, a lot of fucking shout outs and homages to other movies. You'll see them. You know, shout outs to Carpenter, shit like they in the little boy's room, they're panning across his toys. One of them is the car from the movie The Car.
I liked that one because I was like, ooh, deep cut.
Yeah, it's all kinds of stuff that's in there.
Also, I love that kid in the first segment was, he was dressed as Snake Plissken, though.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure, because he had
Yeah. He had the shirt with the zippers on the top. It wasn't zippers. He just put white stripes on them.
Yeah, that's right.
And he had the fucking patch.
He had an eye patch, and he had like little stubble that he drew on.
He painted stubble on his face.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, every story on it's good. They're all short. They don't, you know what I mean? Or they're short or as long as they have to be in order to get the fucking point across. None of them are extended, you know, so, and none of them are like curtailed. They're all, the flow is correct. And it's just crazy shit, man. Fucking trick-or-treating and a little kid fucking is forced to pull a trick on this guy's house. And it turns out the guy that lives there is the devil. So the devil fucking takes
played
him.
By Barry Bostwick,
yeah.
For Christ's sake.
So the devil, I'm not going to spoil it all, but the devil takes him all around town. And they fucking committing all kinds of crimes and doing all kinds of crazy shit. Running with the devil. It's like that. I was going, when are they going to fucking come out with Van Halen, Running with the Devil?
They didn't.
Because he was running with the devil.
He was, yeah.
But then there's a twist at the end. Little kids fucking attacking people. Adults, like Night of the Living Dead, like a zombie type thing, but they're trick-or-treater kids. And then there's a twist at the end. Just a lot of good shit, man. Every story was good. There wasn't a bad story in it.
I don't think there was. And it's weird because this was essentially 11 different directors.
Yeah.
And given that, this is a remarkably consistent anthology.
Lots of eye candy. Lots of eye candy.
Yeah.
Good looking girls fucking in every fucking story. Lots of leg shots, sexy fucking...
cleavage.
Yeah, fucking
sexy
cleavage.
Costumes.
Sexy costumes, shots with the fucking thigh-high fucking stockings and just good thighs and legs and shit. They know what they're doing. They even got Adrienne Barbeau's in it.
Yeah. She plays like a radio DJ, like the narrator, just
like
in The
Fog. Now, her boobs aren't in it. All right, but she's in it. Her voice, you know.
Yeah, and she, because that's another homage that they made to it, like, over the thing. But yeah, there's, like, tons of, there's, one of the ones, I think it's the devil one, has Adrienne Curry, who's playing herself, and I was like, who the fuck is that? And then I looked her up, and they're like, oh, she's kind of famous. She was, like, on America's Top Model or something, so she's, like, on TV. I didn't know who she was, because everybody was, like, acting like she was famous, and I'm like... who is that? But I guess she is famous. I just didn't know. But she like turns up in it and she's dressed up like Sarah from Legend. Like when she's Darkness's bride, that really cool outfit with like the big fucking collar and everything. And I was like, what? Look at that. But yeah, like all the fucking shit. And so yeah, there's like tons of cameos in this. There's tons of like homages in this to other movies, but not in a real... I guess it's not like a real winky-winky type of way. They're like, hey, look at all these famous people that are in the movie. They're just kind of like in there, like in the background, and they don't really like make an issue of it, which I liked. But like I said, this is 11 different directors, 10 different segments, because one of the segments had two directors, like two guys that work together all the time. But they shot it. They shot all the segments like one after the other, like on the same street. Like they had a suburban street that they were using as a set. And a lot of the stories... and I didn't realize this until I was, like, looking some shit up and, like, the second time I saw it. A lot of the stories, like, interlock. Like, sometimes, like, in the later, like, stories, it'll refer back to something that happened in one of the other stories, except, like, kind of in the background. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, some of the characters... so they actually did kind of go out of their way to make this like a cohesive movie, like all these things were happening at the same time, kind of like Trick or Treat did, I guess. Because yeah, that kind
this
of
is better
did
than Trick or Treat, though.
I think this is just as good as Trick or Treat. I would put it right up there with that. It's like, this seems like a really good thing to watch. It's
gotta see Trick or Treat again. I got it on DVD.
Yeah, we reviewed that one too. Yeah. Like that's definitely. I mean, if you're talking about Halloween anthology movies,
I'm thinking that, you know, this one. I think this one's better than Creepshow. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty tall.
There's more stories. I think the stories are more exciting. There's a lot more gore in them and a lot more action in them. And I think the storytelling, was superior. And fucking, that's saying a lot with Creepshow. Creepshow's the fucking, like,
that's kind of like the benchmark standard. Yeah.
I think it's better.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I mean, I definitely like this one as much as Trick or Treat, and I like Trick or Treat like a really lot.
I think it's better than Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I think the stories drew me in. They were faster, more fast-paced.
This is a fun movie. It's really fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing shit like, there's one story called Friday the 31st, which was a mashup between Evil Dead and Friday the 13th. This fucking hot girl fucking dressed up, I don't know what she dressed up like.
Dorothy. Yeah.
With a fucking sexy-ass Dorothy costume. Bad shit happens to her, you know what I mean? Fucking Freddy comes after her, she gets killed.
It's Jason, not Freddy.
Jason.
Well, Jason adjacent.
Yeah, like a Jason type of Jason spinoff. And then, I'm not going to spoil it, but she ends up coming back to life, kind of like out of the Evil Dead. And she's in this sexy costume with this fucking demonic face trying to fight Jason. And it's over the fucking top. I mean, her titties are flying out. She's already dead, and her titties are flying out. She's fighting with chainsaws and stuff.
Chopping arms off.
Yeah, with these sexy fucking, sexy tall fucking stockings on and shit. It's just, the movie is aimed towards pleasing the crowd. It's not trying to make any kind of political statement or anything. It's just trying to over the top itself.
It's just fun.
Building on the other one. Yeah, yeah, fucking. Two neighbors, one of them's an old school guy. He's got his old school fucking Halloween setup that he's been putting in his yard for 20 years. Some new people move across the street and they're all black metal fucking hardcore fucking black metal punk rockers and shit. With this over the top new Halloween setup, they start getting into a Halloween super battle.
Yeah, Halloween decoration.
Yeah, Halloween decoration battle, you know. It's yeah, and it's satanic as shit across the street with mauled up bodies, and it's just over the top. And he's complaining. He says, "This is not right." You know, you just got to see it.
Yeah, so just DJ Maniac asks, is this the one with Dana Gould? Yeah, he actually is. He's the man with the nice Halloween display, yeah. Like in the one we were just talking
about.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah, he like lives across the street from all these like new like heavy metal people that like move across the street. It's like
yeah, what? They're out there like Danzig and shit.
Yeah.
it's like cross between Danzig and the Misfits.
And fun fact, the guy that played the head like black metal guy, that was the same guy that played Frank the Rabbit in Donnie Darko.
Okay.
And he's also in a bunch of like Greg Araki's movies too. Yeah. Like Doom Generation and stuff.
Just as the whole thing unfolds, you start seeing all these directors from horror movies in it. And if she didn't point them out, I wouldn't realize who it was I was seeing. It's not like they're doing a Stephen King corny cameo where, oh, there's Stephen King's fucking bucktooth ass. Yeah. Not acting bucktooth.
He has a bucktooth ass.
Fucking bucktooth ass.
Even his ass is bucktooth.
His ass is bucktooth. Stephen King will fuck his own movies up real quick. He'll get in there and start fucking the movie up. Like, oh, they got brought Stephen King back.
Well, they got, there's actually one story in here. I think it's called Grim Grinning Ghost. And this one's not like super over the top or gory or anything. It's basically just like an old school ghost story. And they have that like a little Halloween party at the beginning. Alex Esso is in this, who was in Starry Eyes. She was in Haunting of Bly Manor. She was in Dr. Sleep. And so she's in it. Lynn Shay plays her mom, you know, from all the Conjuring movies. And everyone else at the party, it's Stuart Gordon, Mick Garris, Barbara Crampton, who I did not actually recognize at first. I just recognized her voice. And Lisa Marie, who was in a bunch of Tim Burton movies. So that was all at that party. But like I said, that was like a very brief scene. John Landis is in one, playing the millionaire father of a kid that gets kidnapped. sort of, but that's not how it goes. And also the one, the last segment, which I don't know if I could pick a favorite, but the last one is pretty good about the fucking Killer Pumpkin.
Yeah, that's the monster movie.
They and that had a really good like homage to Halloween 3, which I really appreciated. That actually had Joe Dante in it also.
Yeah, Bee's Nest, I can't check Messenger right now. It'll close my window. I'll check it later.
Fourth Throwdown said, honey, this ATM just called me an asshole. Yeah, that was from Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I said, it's hard for me to pick a favorite. There were some that I liked more than others. I liked the last one, which is called The Bad Seed, about the Killer Pumpkin. Sweet Tooth, which is the first one about the urban legend about the demon that, like, if you don't give him some candy, like, he'll come and...
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Take the candy. That's, like, really... It was really good. Like, really gory and, like, the monster, and it was, like, really cool looking.
This kid was pissed off. His parents took his fucking candy.
And ate all his fucking Halloween candy.
Yeah, and what was funny is they really played it up. The kid's like, you took all my fucking Halloween candy. And he creeps up on him later on, trying to look for his candy. And he sees his mom and dad. Mom was fucking... She was fucking hot. Mom and dad are fucking on the fucking... Was it the bed or the couch?
It was the couch.
Yeah, on the couch in a pile of his candy, just getting it on, fucking eating the candy to feed each other candy. They're just fucking... Just rubbing it in that they got all the fucking candy. And the kid's sitting there staring at him like, those motherfuckers fucking in my candy. You
know right?
I mean? Just, yeah. It you just, can't blame you just gotta see, him. He just gets pissed off, man. Get pissed off. That's exactly like something some kid would might imagine of what they might be doing with his candy. I bet you they're fucking in that candy.
And eating it.
And eating it at the same time. And they're like rubbing it on each other. It's just a great scene, man. Yeah. That's what your parents are doing with the fucking candy.
You wake up and they're like, I don't know where your candy is.
Yeah, I don't know where your candy is.
You can't eat it all. You'll get fat. Yeah. Then they have to like quick go buy some more.
Yeah. It's fucking funny.
But yeah, so, well, and I also like in this that that it's really kind of like nasty. Like it goes for, like a lot of little kids get killed in this.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
also a lot of kids like kill adults. You know, at one, during that, the second one about the devil, which is called The Night Billy Raised Hell, just basically they have somebody going through the town just like fucking... You know, he puts, like, a flaming, like, bear trap in somebody's yard. It, like, cuts their foot off. They're just, like, shooting people randomly, like, in the street and shit like that. So it's, like, it really kind of goes all out with, like, the nastiness. But it's so, like, over the top.
It's funny.
That it's funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not, like, you know.
I thought that was funny that the kid would imagine that that's exactly what a kid would imagine his parents were doing with the fucking candy. They took the candy. I bet you then they're fucking on that candy.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what made that so funny for me.
His jealousy was fucking going through the roof and shit. Bee's Nest wanted to know the cheapest way to send t-shirts. Sending two t-shirts, dude, that's going to be $15 at least. Wouldn't you say, Jenny?
Yeah.
Weight-wise? You just got to go to...
Well, wait, depending, like, are we sending it... Where are we sending it?
It's continental U.S.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's usually only... To do two t-shirts, it usually only costs, like... $7-$8
bucks?
Something like that. Because I think it's 4 or 5 like for one, but like as it gets heavier.
Yep. USPS, man. You just got to go to USPS and they got the little machine and you put it in the special package and then send it out. $7-$8
DJ Maniac says, yo, I didn't realize until a few years ago that when my parents were checking my candy for poison, they were fucking stealing it.
Yeah, they're fucking stealing the candy.
But that's what's so cool about it because like I said, it's like, if you were a kid, because I remember, like, being a kid, and you, like, worked really hard for that candy, goddammit. Like, you put on this, and especially in Florida when it's, like, fucking roasting at Halloween. Yeah. And you went around in your costume, like, schlubbing the bag around and got all this candy, and then you got home, and, like, then your parents would collect a candy tax. That's what they always said.
That's what they called it? They'd take their candy?
My parents didn't do that, but yeah, I knew, like, some other... Because my parents were just like, whatever, just eat it all. Yeah. We don't care. But... And we were like, thank you, we will. But yeah, we were talking about that the other day, how, because you don't have any siblings, and I do.
No.
And I do, but it's like, so you didn't do like the whole big candy treating summit, like when you got home from trick-or-treating, where everybody would pile all their candy in the middle, and then be like, okay, my brother likes this, and you don't like that, and you can have, now we can divide these up, and shit like that.
I just got what I got, and ate every bit of it, basically.
You did.
Basically. There wasn't anything I didn't like.
Yeah, you were like a candy vacuum.
Yeah, eat it all.
Well, you had to, like, what I liked to do is that if nobody would take, like, my kind of mediocre candy off my hands, I would actually kind of, like, eat that first and I would save the good shit for later. But I'd have to hide it, like I said, because sometimes, you know, parents or siblings or something would get a bit peckish and they'd come in there and, like, raid my stash. But I like to, like, save the good shit till last. I would eat, like, the kind of mediocre shit, like, first.
You know, I remember they mostly handed out those where I lived when, out in California. They were mostly giving out those damn Sweetums? Sweeties? What was that? What, you laughing? What'd they call that shit?
I think it was Sweeties or something.
Sweeties? They were like a little roll. Roll. Sweeties, I think.
God, I hated those.
They gave out a lot of those.
Well, they're cheap.
Yeah.
It came in that big bag that had those, and it had those like little lollipops.
Yeah.
Like those kind of shit.
We ate them anyway.
The lollipops, I liked the pineapple ones.
And then got a lot of those butterscotch.
Oh, no, I like butterscotch.
Yeah, and the gold wrapper.
I'd eat all of those.
Well, not really gold, but the yellow clear wrapper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd eat those and the like any kind of Starlight mints or something like that. I don't like the cinnamon ones, but I like the butterscotches. But you know what I mean. I liked those little like fucking crunchy, what the fuck were those? They were like little bars and they were like kind of crunchy peanut, but it was like a Butterfinger, but it was like kind of like rectangular.
California, we got a lot of Mexican candies too. A lot of different kinds. Like, there's like a piece of paper that fucking had little button drops on them. Mexican lollipops. Mexican lollipop is like a cone with three different colors with a Mexican flag color. It looked like a folded up umbrella, but it was a lollipop.
Ooh.
I showed that to Jair, who's, you know, he lives in, if you guys don't know who it is, he's a fan of the show, but he lived in Tijuana, and I was telling him about those little Mexican umbrellas, and he kind of forgot about them, and I showed him a picture, and he's like, oh yeah, they stopped making, you know, I forgot about those.
Yeah.
That's not something that they eat anymore today, but they gave those out. Little Mexican candies.
I've heard of a couple of those, but I'm not real familiar with a lot of them.
They're good.
But yeah, I was going to say, okay, so out of like all these 10 stories, I will say there's a couple of them that were good, but I didn't love them. The two that I didn't love were the one about like, what was it called? The Weak and the Wicked or something like that. It was kind of like the bullies and it was set up like a Western kind of. And it was just like, you know, the three, like the girl and the two guys that were like going to beat up that one guy.
I didn't see it as a Western. It was kind of more like a post-apocalyptic.
It was, but the way it was shot, they were homaging,
I guess,
a Western, I guess. Yeah. And like the music was kind of like Western. He was like,
yeah,
had,
demon came.
Had the demon of like All Hallows Eve. I liked the demon though. The demon looks pretty cool. And now the one with Pollyanna McIntosh, who many people might know nowadays as the leader of the trash people on Walking Dead. She was in one that was called, what the hell was the name of that one? It was like a Hansel and Gretel riff. And that one was a little, I think Lucky McKee directed that, who was probably most famous for directing May. And he also did The Woman, which was pretty decent. But that one was just a little... The makeup that she did, like, her in it was great. Like, she was, because she was a witch, but she would, like, fucking demon out, like, when she got mad. And that was super cool. But I thought, like, it was a little disjointed and weird. But, and it wasn't quite as funny as the other ones. But other than that, I mean, like, I still liked them, but those were just the only two that I didn't really love. But, like I said, I think Sweet Tooth, which was the first one, like, about the candy-stealing demon... And the last one about the killer pumpkins, which I think is called Bad Seed, I think those two were my favorite ones. Because the best thing about Bad Seed, the pumpkin eating, the pumpkin that, like, ate people, was that they did it, like, they shot it like a police procedural. And they played it straight, but they had, like, everybody that was in it, like, the cops and everything, they talked, like, in cop movie cliches. But they played it completely straight, which I thought was hilarious. And one of the funniest moments of the whole movie for me is when, you know, this guy gets his head bit off by a pumpkin, right? By a jack-o'-lantern. And then, like, his wife is, like, is talking to the police sketch artist. And, like, the detective comes in and the police sketch artist, like, turns the thing. And it's like, this crayon drawing of a pumpkin with teeth and shit. It's so fucking funny. And then they do, like, the... they did like the bite marks on the head, and like they bring in the like the 3D thing that they made. It looks like a big pumpkin mouth and shit like that. It's just funny. It's funny as hell.
Karen, she corrected me. It wasn't Sweeties. They were called Smarties.
Smarties.
Smarties. That's right.
And you know what's confusing about that is that they have a candy called Smarties in Canada, but they're more like M&Ms. They're like chocolate.
They're called Smarties.
Yeah.
And then Cannavacion also is in there under his fucking pseudonym right now. He's in there in his Ezio Auditori, whatever the hell that is.
So he has Ezio Auditori. He has to hide.
He's hiding. He's in troll mode. you see, that's Jair.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you're blowing his cover.
I'm blowing his cover. Sometimes goes by Khan of Aslan. I don't understand that, you know, because the Khan that he's talking about is of course fucking Khan Noonien Singh, also played by Ricardo Montalban. Ricardo Montalban was the fucking alpha males of all alpha males of Mexico. See? So he's the Ricardo Montalban of Aztlan. That's what he's talking about. Okay. What is Aztlan? That's all the land they're gonna take back from us down there in the Southwest. That's Aztlan, see? Mexico's gonna take all that back. Tell him, Khan. Then dude, what's going on?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, nobody's gonna beat Ricardo Montalban. That was all man right there. That wasn't prosthetic. That wasn't fine Corinthian leather. When in the fucking Wrath of Khan, you know what I mean? They had people saying, "Oh man, that had to be a prosthetic chest and arms." He's not that big because that was big back in the day.
Well, yeah.
Back in those days. So no, it was all man. Fucking Ricardo.
It's like, man, look at Mr. Rourke's fucking chest, man.
Yeah. And he'd fucking come off like he was some kind of a fucking Castilian lord from fucking Spain and shit. That dude, I think that dude was from Tijuana. I think he was from Tijuana.
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember where exactly, because I remember I looked him up a long time ago something.
Yeah, he played it off like he was some kind of a fucking part of the La Conquista.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, like he was one of Cortez's men.
Sorry, I was just looking at my notes about Friday the 31st, and all I could think of was that little... I'm not going to say what it is, because if you haven't seen the movie, there's this slasher parody, and then like a really funny like random thing happens.
Yeah.
But I was just remembering the little twinkle tweet. Yeah. Now he just like keeps doing that. It was just like making me laugh all over again. We had a fucking blast watching this movie last night. It really like I said, it really kind of like, I'm glad that I saved this one for Wednesday and I saved this one for today, because it's kind of, I was trying to like make it so it was like getting more and more Halloween-y like as the week went on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Jair says he has all these accounts because that's how he hides from the Mexican deep state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
fair enough. Yeah. All right, so are you done talking about? You're done? Done?
Yeah.
Is it old man nap time?
Yeah, a little bit. It is a little bit. A little bit, yeah. I got to check the mail.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is about mail time. Mail.
And then I want to see that, what's his name?
I don't know.
Joe Rogan show from last night. Joe Rogan, they had fucking Alex Jones on there.
Oh, God.
Evidently, he got loaded. He's on there drinking. Yeah, it's a 3-hour show, man. It's going to be awesome. He's breaking the fucking internet. Breaking the internet.
Well, make sure you turn the volume down, because I don't want to like hear all that, screeching coming from
turn
across.
That shit way up, man.
Don't, man. I got recording to do. Right. I don't need to hear all that yelling from all the way across the house. I can hear the TV.
He's
from
just
all
telling
the
truth. He's just telling the truth.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you say so.
Yeah. Well, it's a show.
It's a show.
It's a show.
It's certainly that.
Yeah.
I'll give it that much.
Yeah. Truth is just a lot of times just depends on a certain point of view.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say too that going back to the movie for a second, the last segment of the movie Bad Seed, with the pumpkin.
Yeah.
That was actually directed by Neil Marshall, the same guy that did the Descent and Dog Soldiers.
Okay, yeah.
So there you go.
That's why
I'm so good. Yeah, like I said. And you will recognize pretty much everybody that's in this fucking movie. There's like, but like I said, they don't do it in an obnoxious way, you know? Because even a lot of the actors I recognize from other shit and like...
Jair said his wife is deep state.
His wife is the deep state.
Yeah, his wife is the deep state. Yeah. She's watching you. She must be watching him.
I don't get that.
She's just watching.
I don't watch what you're doing.
Yeah, I know, but she's just watching. He's in Mexico, though.
Because I got better shit to do.
You can get in trouble real quick in Mexico. And it doesn't cost much money to get in trouble in Mexico.
Well, you can get in trouble anywhere if you got a little imagination.
Yeah.
All right, so we're wrapping this up. So, like I said, this is a really, really good horror anthology. Very, very Halloween-y, just fun, gory, nasty, over-the-top, hilarious. Lots of, like, Evil Dead homages, lots of that kind of shit. So if you're really into horror movies and you want to see it, if you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it right around Halloween time. It's on Shudder, and it is also streaming on Tubi if you don't have Shudder, even though you should. So you can watch it either place. And I guess that'll do it for our live stream today. And next live stream is going to be Saturday night's big online Halloween party.
Okay.
Got all our costumes ready.
Yeah.
We got to go get some Halloween candy tomorrow, though. We got booze.
I'll probably be manning the door as I'm doing the show, too.
Well, that's okay. Like, if the doorbell rings, if we get a lot of trick-or-treaters, I don't know if we will. Because we didn't really get that many last year, now that I'm thinking about it. I think we maybe only got a dozen people. But I don't know if we have any little kids living in this neighborhood anymore.
Yeah, we do. We got a shit ton of them.
Oh, really? Maybe some, like, moved in since last year. So, I don't know. So, we'll see how it goes. So, if he has to keep getting up and, like, running and doing the doorbell, it's like, I'll just handle the shit.
Yeah.
I guess. Like usual.
Yeah. I'd be drunk fucking answering the door, handing out candy.
Dressed
like the dude from The Hand.
Dressed up like Michael Caine from The Hand. All the little kids would be like, who the fuck are you supposed to be? Yeah. They're not going to understand.
No.
All right. So we'll see you guys on Halloween night. Thanks for dropping by. Bye.